Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution and production made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Steve and Justin believe that they have a solution. It's called My 401k, and it can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor. My 401k ranks your current 401k investment options within your employer's specific plan based on current trends and long-term performance. Then it builds a portfolio that fits your personal risk tolerance. Take a look at it. Click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com and then My 401k. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition, October 4th, 2016 of InvestTalk. I really appreciate you being with me. My book is entitled Above Average Investing for the Average Investors, and that title means something. It's okay to be average. I just don't want you to act like an average investor. I want you to do better than that, just a bit better. Don't have to be the world's best investor. And to be a bit better, all you need is some knowledge. You just need to avoid mistakes that most people make. Avoid some of them, at least. Okay, your questions take priority, of course, on this show. So we'll talk about the average investor and how to avoid what kind of mistakes. And we do that through the question and answer period. So don't hesitate to bring your question to the table. Any question. Don't matter. Does not matter how simplistic it is or difficult. If they're really difficult, I'm probably not going to be able to answer them. So, but, you know, I really do want to help. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach me right now. And whenever you listen, you can call. But you don't have to be listening when we're live. You can still call and leave a message. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. But the 24-hour listener line, the same number, it's on all the time. You can leave your question. We'll answer it on the next InvestTalk. Now, human beings are emotional creatures, and investors are human beings. If you can understand the progression of the human emotions in the investment world, that is a great skill to understand and use. Start with knowing that there are four stages of stock market sentiment. Four stages or cycles. And they are despair, disbelief, acceptance, and euphoria. During a bear market, like when in 2008, and the lows come in, that's where you have despair. Everybody is just depressed. Everybody who wants to get out finally capitulates and gets out of the stock market, saying, I'm never going to do this. I'm losing money. I can't handle anymore. I'm out. Okay? That's despair. Once all those weak hands, we'll call them weak hands, flush all their shares back into the market, and no more people are left to sell, that's when we start seeing a little bit of green shoots. Little bit of green shoots of recovery. Okay, so you got that. So that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. Have we seen despair? No, we have not seen it. We saw it in 2008, but it hasn't been there since, have we? We have not. Okay. Once you see those green shoots start rebounding in the market, then what you have after that is disbelief. You don't believe it. You don't believe it's going to come back. You know, you've seen the market starting to recover. You don't believe it. You know, I've done this before, and it's going to turn right around and go back down again. You do not believe it. So it's despair. Now you're in the disbelief part. Then we move to acceptance. The market's been rallying. It's been rallying pretty good, and now you're accepting the fact that the market has turned around. This is the area where most amateurs get back in the market. Then after that, and there's no really time frame. You can't say like, oh, this takes 3 months, or this takes 8 months, or this takes one. You can't do that. It's not how it works. That's what makes it so difficult. So after you have acceptance, then comes euphoria. Euphoria means like 1999, the .com. Everybody, You don't. I was on the radio at that time, in beginning of 2000, into 99. I was on the radio, and people were telling me I don't know what I'm talking about because it's a new paradigm. This is the way things are going to be done. I'm sitting there saying this stock is overvalued. This stock is overvalued. All these stocks are overvalued. This stock is not making any money. Has no reason to be at this price. I wouldn't buy this stock. And I was saying that on all the calls, many of the calls back then, is too expensive. And, of course, I was totally wrong, according to everybody else, because I didn't know the new paradigm. There is no new paradigm. Earnings drives stock prices. You got to have earnings. That's it. End of story. Earnings drive stock prices. It's a new way to do business. Someone's got to make a profit. If you don't believe me, look at Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank is not making any money. Okay? Why aren't they making any money? One of the reasons is negative interest rates. They can't make money on the negative interest rates. They got to pay to hold on to their money. And as they make less and less money, what do? They shrink. They shrink their business. They can't conduct business because they don't have enough money to conduct business. And it's shrinking. Earnings, growth, having more and more money. That's when you get higher stock prices. You get higher earnings. Earnings drive stock prices. It's that simple. Dot-com, 3/4, 9/10 of all those dot-coms went out of business because they had no way to make earnings. Those who did survived and thrived. So that's what the four phases are. Where are we? I think we're in the acceptance phase, really. I think we're accepting the fact that the market is doing okay, not great. Are we in the euphoric phase? I don't think so. Not everybody's that happy. There's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines, a lot of worry. Now, one of the things you have to understand is you don't have to have all four of these phases go in just simplistic order, and that's how it works on every market cycle. No, you can go from acceptance to a bear market. You don't have to go to euphoria first. Don't have to. It just generally is true. Again, another reason why it makes it so difficult. So recognize the changes in the investor's emotions. That's very, very important. Putting money to work or raising cash counter to what other people are doing, trying to understand what you should be doing with your money, that's all very, very important. It will help you greatly. Remember, your goal is to grow your money, preserve it, and grow it at the same time. So, understand what the crowd is doing. So, how can we help you today? I welcome all your questions. Again, we're here live 4 to 5 Pacific time, and you can call right now. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. We'll try to answer your questions on the next Invest Talk.
Guys, listen to you all the time. Simple question. How do you figure out the buy point of a stock?
Well, there's two ways to look at stocks, fundamentally and technically. Fundamentally is looking at the earnings, the growth of sales, the profit margins, all those numbers that the company is producing. Technically, it's just looking at the chart and the movement of the stock price over a period of time. And using technicals can help you buy a stock is not the answer to end all. All it does is tell you what other people have done at the same price of the stock. If it went to here before, you have a possibility of doing it again. It falls to this point, it bounces, it did that three times, maybe they'll do it the fourth time. So that's what you're doing. So now when you're asking me, how do I know where to put a buy order in? I look at a chart and I decide, is this a good time to be in this stock? Does it look like the stock is not falling anymore? Does it look like it's on an upward swing? Is it basing going sideways? And if it's basing, well, how are the earnings? Does the fundamental support the stock or tell you that the stock probably is still going to get weaker because the earnings are going down? So that's how you kind of decide where to buy a stock. Not what stock to buy, but when and at what price. That what stock to buy is all about fundamentals. That tells you what stock to buy. Okay, I hope that answers that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. They touted it to us as a safe, low risk, low solution for funding your retirement, and they do offer comfy factors. But cost and compromise are also part of the package. The four knocks on annuities, four reasons why not to buy them. And that's going to be one of our main talking points. I got some really good information that I'm going to share with you. ECB officials admitted concern about negative interest rates. That's a first. You know, I've been talking about negative interest rates are a bad idea ever since they started them. And that was what, last year, year before? I don't remember. Negative interest rates. Well, the ECB decided, we're going to talk about it, that maybe they should rethink their negative interest rate policy. Idiots. They're supposed to be the smart people, right? Central bankers. IMF, International Monetary Fund, cuts its growth forecast for the U.S. GDP growth. They cut it today. And other countries. Do you know what they cut it to and from? We're going to share that. I kind of find that was pretty interesting. And there's something that came up today that, you know, I know people are going to call and ask me about gold. I just know it. Okay. We're going to talk about not just gold, but we're going to talk about the S&P 500 earnings. And why did the dollar, what happened to the dollar today? What happened to foreign currency today? These are things that I think are really important. But I really want to talk about the forecast of earnings. We know that the earnings come in like the experts, quote unquote, predict for this quarter that just ended. It'll be six quarters in a row, negative, shrinking earnings for the S&P 500. Shrinking earnings. What's going to turn this around? I want to talk about that. And I do want to discuss gold. We will discuss gold. I know someone's going to ask about it, so I'll wait to see if that happens. If it doesn't happen, I'll talk about it. Okay? Our InvestTalk Insiders program is a gateway to information, free information. We have a very extensive library of webinars and all kinds of info sheets. Managing the risk of your portfolio, a bond portfolio. It's a monthly economic forecast and projections. Very interesting, all free. Doesn't cost a thing. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
I do invest in stocks, and I have a question regarding, am I better off trying options instead of waiting for my returns on the stock? Thank you so much.
Better off. To trade options takes a lot of practice and someone to teach you how to do it. People think they can just do it because it's easy to do. It's easy physically to make the trade. To consistently make money at it, that's much harder, just like the stock market. So I'm going to tell you that no, probably not easier. No. It's probably harder. Now, can you make money on options? Of course you can. You know, and there's so many types of ways to do it that when you say, should I just use options, what do you mean? You're going to sell options. You're going to buy options. You're going to do covered calls. You're going to do naked. How are you going to do it? There's a lot of strategies when it comes to options. So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to do options. See that? If you ask that question that way, I'm not trying to insult you, but if you ask that question that way, the answer is no, because you're not telling me what kind of options you think you can make money. How options, just the word option is not a strategy. And if you say, would it be easier for me to just make money on options? It's not like that. It's like, what you mean? Would it be easier for me to make money in selling call options? Would that make, you know what I mean? It's just more difficult. It's not easier. Is there a question you have about investing that you're too embarrassed to ask? Well, don't be. If you think it's a dumb question, you know, most people, there's a lot of people that have that exact same question. They just don't want to ask it. It's not dumb. No questions are. Go ahead and ask. 888-99-CHART. That's our InvestTalk. Any question? Okay, line. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Bruce in Fresno. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, Steve. Yeah, Bruce, I'm wondering about. I know that you bought the gold stocks when they they were low and they were at a good deal. Well, the shippers have been low for a long time now, and a lot of them are selling way below book value. At what point do you decide that these are good values? And an example would be SSW.
SSW? I thought it was SST. Okay, SS.
No, there was one. There was I said ST and G. Okay. But either one, I don't care.
Oh, okay. Okay, C-SPAN Corporation. I'll go with SSW. I was looking at the other one, but
okay.
I'll look at this one too.
Okay.
It gives me a comparison of the two.
Yeah.
W. Okay. SSW, C-SPAN Corporation, and they are shippers. This one is this one's a container ship. So the other one was an oil shipper. So of course you got different business models there. So you got to consider. But yeah, at some point these shippers look very good. I'll tell you right now, the SSW chart, this is like a quadruple bottom, which means that if it holds here, that's a really strong place that you could buy. It's going to make $1.22 this year, $1.13 next year, and it's a $13 stock. So it's trading at about 11 PE range. Now, shippers generally, Bruce, have lower PEs. They generally trade at lower PEs. The five-year range for this one, SSW, is 8 to 28, and it's at 11. So it's going to make $1.13 next year, so the PE is going to stay about 11 or so next year. So the thing about SSW is its earnings and sales have consistently keep going up, and has for some time. So I kind of like SSW. I kind of like it at this price, right where it is right now. I think it's good.
I noticed the face. Book value is like 17 or something.
Yeah, it's trading according to my numbers about 80% of book value, or 20% below book value. The other one, STNG, is even cheaper when it comes to book value, I think. And yeah, it's about half. It's trading half of book value. The only problem with STNG, it is an oil, crude oil tanker. So it's subject to what oil prices. So you got to deal with that. However, its PE is at the low range of the range. It's ranges 4 to 300 in the last 5 years, and it's at 5 right now. But the earnings are going to turn around next year, make 49 cents a share. That means that the PE next year is going to be about 9. So it's going to make 30 cents a share. It looks like they're getting very close to the bottom. And if you look at a chart of STNG, pull that one back up, it looked like it put in the bottom in July, came up, and now it's just trading sideways for the last couple of months. I like SSW better, but I would probably wait to see if it bounces, from that 4-time low.
Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Steve. Appreciate
Bruce, thank you for calling. Thank you very much. Those are shippers we were talking about. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I was just calling to see what entry points you have for them.
Do you have it on a speakerphone? Because it's echoing.
Yes.
But to turn that off and talk, please.
Oh, let's see here.
Yeah, I'm getting this.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was just calling about Nike.
Yes, uh-huh.
And see what your entry point would be, because I'm looking at upper 40s.
Okay, let's look at. I think someone called.
Take my answer off the air.
Yeah, okay. Someone called last week on Nike. NKE is a symbol, and everybody knows who they are. And Nike, as I said last week, is never cheap. Has never been a cheap stock. Its lowest 5-year PE range, the low, is 18. That's pretty high for a company that's growing in the single digits, between 5% and 10%, 5% and 9% per quarter. And 10% to 12% earnings. So, but that's pretty high PE for that kind of slower growth company. And it's an $87 billion company. So now, one thing I do like is it's hit this low before at $53 or so, $52, $53 in June, July. And in the January fall, it only got as low as about $54 or so. And here it is today at $52. So hopefully it will bounce from here or somewhere around here. I think you got to wait for that bounce. It's been 2 or 3 days doing sideways. It was down. It was down to today almost 1%. So I think it looks like it's setting it up for a good entry point here. This could be the entry point, but I still would wait a few days to see if it bounces up. Okay, Nike, NKE. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's certainly how you can get through to us. You can do it right now if you want. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
Invest Talk continues now. Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. That's Steve's book, and it's a good start for the investor who wants a better understanding of the process. You can order your copy, purchase it directly from the KPP Financial Office. Just call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. I'll tell you how to get your copy. And now, more Invest Talk. You're listening to Invest Talk for Tuesday, October 4th. More and more Americans are retiring later in life. There are benefits and drawbacks to working into your 70s. Three pros and cons of retiring in your 70s. That's next time. You can still set the topic for today. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now.
888-992-4278. I wanted to mention a scam that's out there before we go any further. My father-in-law gave this to his daughter, my wife. And wanted to ask me if this was a scam. He's 90 years old, and he got this in the mail. And in the mail, it looks very official, two pages with stamps and seals on it and judges' final decision awards. He's won $1,327,940. He's won it. He's never applied for it. There's no indication anywhere that it's a lottery of some kind. Just this is from the Award Notification Commission, and they have been assigned to notify him of his winnings. All he has to do is send the return envelope and $12.99. Cash, check, or money order be sufficient. $12.99. And it goes to Kansas City, Kansas, in a P.O. box. No address. No, nothing as to who's sending this, or no phone numbers, of course. It's all a huge scam. It looks very official, almost government-like in its official look. So be very careful with that. It's a scam. They just want to get the $13 from you. Multiply that times 1 million people, and how much do you have? You see, or 100,000 people. That, and $12.99, see, it's not enough for you to do anything about but send it and forget about it. That's what they want. They don't want to make it too much because $12.99 is not worth anything to even pursue. Anyways, four reasons why critics tell you not to buy annuities. We'll go through this really fast. Annuities are not growth products. You know what an annuity is? Annuity is you give the insurance company money and they promise to pay you back something. And a normal annuity is, you give us some money, $100,000 or whatever it is, and we'll pay you X amount of dollars per month for the rest of your life. Or if you wait 10 years, we'll pay you X plus per month for the rest of your life. That's how annuities traditionally work. And of course, insurance companies have gotten smarter and smarter and smarter over the time and do different things to them to make you feel like it's an investment. Now, you got to be careful. That's one of the reasons why they don't like annuities. Most people criticize them. Another one is loss of control of your money. When you give the insurance company, it's not yours anymore. Remember, we're talking about an annuity. You're giving them their money, an annuity. Most annuities you see or hear about these days is they're pretending it's an investment. And they'll give it back to you, but you're giving it to them. Third, investing in the stock market is more profitable most experts and most any studies over any length of time have proven that they are more profitable. That's why we don't like annuities. Annuities are costly and take profits away. So we don't like them. Annuity guarantees rely on the company, not the federal government. There's no SIPC insured. There's no insurance. It's relying on the insurance company. If the strength of that insurance company being around. So be very careful. If you're going to buy an annuity, be very careful of who you're buying it from. You want a very strong insurance company. And remember, we saw one of the strongest insurance companies, AIG, go out of business. If it wasn't for the federal government buying it, it would have been out of business. Be very, very careful when you buy an annuity. You know, the things they don't tell you is the problem. Try to remember that someone is selling you an annuity. It's a salesman. So don't believe necessarily what he says. You need to read the documents, and you really need to get into the fine print. And that's where most people get lost. 888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Nick in Hayward. He wants to talk about hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hi, Steve. How are you, sir?
Good.
The stock is CTSH.
Cognizant. Okay.
Yeah. What do you think about it? I'm thinking about buying a little bit.
Okay. Let's take a look at Cognizant. It's out of Teaneck, New Jersey. Provides custom IT consulting, technology, and outsourcing services for companies. It's a big company, $30 billion. So it's a blue chip company, still growing sales, even though the sales have been going down in recent quarters. For instance, the most recent quarter, sales grew at 9%, the quarter before that 10%, the quarter before that 18%, the quarter before that 23%. So sales are slowing. Profits still are raising 10%, $3.38 this year, and then another 10% up next year, $3.71. And it's a $50 stock. That tells you that it's a bit underpriced. Okay? The 5-year PE ratio is 14 to 24, and right now it's selling at 15. So $3.71 means it's going to be right at 13, 14 PE. So that's its low.
Yeah.
So why did it fall 3 days ago very sharply from 55 down to 48? What was the news? Something happened.
Something was going on. Yeah, they're being checked for something. I don't know.
Yeah, something. There was. We need to find out what that news and see if it's just a one-time thing. I'm looking at the headlines. I'm looking at the headlines real fast. I can't see it. No, I can't see anything that would cause that to do it right off the top of my head. But I would check that and see if that's just a one-time issue and it's not financially related. And then I would say that, yeah, Cognizant's a good company to own. And this is a fairly good price to get it at, to get into it. It bottomed 3 days ago, and it's moved up since then. You might wait a few more days, to see if it turns sideways. But yeah, it's a good solid company. Okay.
All right, sir.
Thank you for the call.
Appreciate it.
Let's go to Don in Pleasant Hill. How you doing, Don?
Exceptionally well, and yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I am curious about a bond. You were talking scams. I figured this has got to be one. I was looking for yields, of course, and so I went over to the junk bonds, and I'm looking at one that is callable next month. You know, it is callable anytime from November 16 on. The price right now is like $56 or something like that. It is callable at 106. Or greater. Okay. Where is the catch? If I bought this thing today and it was called tomorrow, it seems to me I would be getting a big chunk.
But they won't call it. But they will not call, right, Don? Why would they call it? Yeah.
Because the interest is so high. The interest is some astronomical something.
What is the interest?
The coupon. Uh-oh, am I breaking up from you again?
Nope, I'm hearing you.
Okay, good. Coupon rate, I don't see it on this little piece of paper, but in general, as a general question,
okay,
because I've seen it. What,
This is what's happening.
Yes, okay, sir.
The bond par is probably 100. I'm assuming that's par. And you're telling me the bond is at 57 right now, $57, right?
It's along in there, yeah.
Okay, so it's almost half of what the bond will be if you let it go to maturity. The yield to maturity is going to be huge right now because the maturity is 100, okay? So it goes back to, so why is it selling so far below par? And the answer, Don, is because the company is very weak. And everybody that owns those bonds are worried that it's not going to pay the bond. They're not going to get their money back. Okay, that's why it's trading so low to par value. Okay?
And even though in this particular case it's a 2020 bond, and so even in the short notice, people are thinking this company may not last for the next couple of years.
That's what the bond investors are thinking because that's how they're reacting to the bond, price the way it's priced. Okay? They're thinking it won't make it to 2020. We won't get our $100 bond par back. We won't get it.
Okay.
But what if you do? Think of the return. This is why I say bonds are not, you know, people think bonds are not risky. This is a big risk that you could take, and if you get it right and it does mature, you're gonna have a huge return, right?
Yeah, 43%.
plus the yield every year, however much it's paying, plus the yield.
So
now it's a question. All you know, when I look at bonds, when I buy them for my clients, that's the first thing I look at. Will this company be around in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whenever the bond is due, over that period of time, what's my risk that the company won't be there? That's really what I look at. So.
Okay, and I actually was looking at one for Vanguard, the VNR. It's the same or a similar situation. I don't know where it is today. Vanguard's going to be around, but maybe that fund will go under?
The fund won't. Vanguard, the VNR is engaged in the exploration and production of oil, natural gas, Texas, you know, different places, okay? It's a Vanguard Natural Resources stock, VNR. And so it's just, it's selling. They're going to make $1.09 this year, but only 50 cents shared next year. So it's a 52-cent stock. Because it's losing money every quarter. All the company, you know, so it's not. So the worry is it going to hang around? Will it be around? The yield is 69%. Well, you know they can't pay 69. Yeah. That's impossible. It's impossible. It's looking backward and tell you what the yield was. That's what all these do. So it can't pay that because it's not going to have the money to pay it. Remember, it's losing money.
So there's a good chance. Okay, so in a case like this, everyone is just sort of betting that it's going to go under.
Right. The investors feel that it's is not going to make that payment of 69% on the dividend yield. And it's very possible this thing could go out of business. That's what the investors are thinking. Okay?
Okay.
Does that help, Don?
It does. It is a gamble.
It's a high-risk play.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're kidding.
Yeah, high-risk play. But if it works out, you make a lot of money. See, the stock market can be, have that element of gambling. That's why you got to, I don't like gambling. Let me take that back. I like playing poker, but I don't like gambling with my investment money. So I try to take that element out as much as I can. And therefore, I wouldn't buy Vanguard Natural Resources. It's a $68 million company. Not making money. It's making a little bit of money, but its sales are falling sharply. It's just not something it's not strong enough for me. Okay, let's talk about the ECB. ECB officials concerned about negative rates. Now, how many of you out there have been listening to me and I've been telling you that these cannot last? Well, and it's not working. Not working. Well, the last 24 hours, two senior ECB officials have warned that the sub-zero rates could, over time, cause banks to reduce lending to the economy. Duh! Aren't these people supposed to be smart people? if banks lose money, and they lose money on negative rates, they don't make money, how are they going to lend more money out to corporations and the public? If their pile of money shrinks, just common sense, they can't lend more money out. Now, the shift of emphasis, they're saying that the shift in emphasis, that they're going to shift the emphasis on 0% interest rates amid a protracted slump in the banking stock. So here you have, Deutsche Bank is a good example, is all the banks that have live in countries with 0% interest rate, the EU banks have all fallen about 20% this year. Why? If negative interest rates are so good and they're going to spur the economy, wouldn't they go up? Because that would spur business. But no, they've gone down. That's because they won't spur business. So what are they going to do? Does that mean interest rates are going to go up for the ECB? Now, the first cut of interest rate the ECB made was in 2014, by the way, when it first went below zero, 2014, mid-2014. So this, to me, is idiotic. I'm not understanding how they didn't think that this would happen. This unintended consequences for banks, that they would lose money and therefore shrink their ability to lend money. What happens when a bank loses money? Don't they lay off employees and cut costs anywhere they can? In other words, they get tight. And that's not what they're after. They're after loose money, not tight money. So here you are, negative interest rates are not working. And remember, was it 2 weeks ago, Japan says they're not going to pay attention to the interest rates so much. They're going to be much more attention to the interest rate spread. Now, isn't that an admittance that negative interest rates in Japan is not working either? Yes? It's very disappointing. Because I always think they're a lot smarter than they are. Yeah, this, of course negative interest rates won't work in a normal economic system. No one would lend money. Who would borrow money and have that other and pay to borrow? I don't get it. See, it's not a normal economic environment. You got to let things go back to what is normal before you can really have any kind of long-term recovery in the economies around the world. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I really enjoy talking about money, as you probably have guessed. So we're going to talk about it more. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This is JT in Florida. I had a quick question. I was wondering if you could take a look at HD Supply. The ticker symbol is HDS. And let me know what you think about it. Thank you. Enjoy the show.
Okay, HD Supply Company, it is a $6.3 billion company. It distributes products for the maintenance and repair infrastructure and power and specialty construction markets. Okay, products for the maintenance and repair infrastructure and power and specialty construction markets. Sales are growing small, 3-4%. 5% per quarter. Earnings are going to be down up 47% this year and another up 20% next year. So that's all good. My biggest concern is debt. It has lots of debt. The company looks pretty solid other than the debt. And there's where my concern would be. Good cash flow. It's a $31 stock. Going to make $3.07 next year. That's pretty cheap. What is that? 11 PE range? And that's the low of the five-year range, 11 to 76, so pretty cheap. And insiders are buying. Now, it fell sharply from 36 down to 32, 4 points in one day back in September. I'd like to find out what that was all about. Might have been earnings, but I don't know, and I can't pick it out of here. HDS is the symbol, HD Supply Holdings Company. Gold. Gold took a beating today. Okay, why did gold take a beating? Well, because the dollar rose sharply today. Why did the dollar go up? Because part of the reason the ECB kind of hinted at that their negative interest rates isn't working and they're going to do something else. Well, that does that mean that that means the euro and the yen both fell sharply against the dollar today. So the dollar got strong, and that of course makes gold go down. Now, is it a buying opportunity for gold? Well, I think it might be, but I'd wait. I'd wait till it turns sideways. I would. So that was about gold today. Now, the IMF, International Monetary Fund cuts growth prospects or forecast for U.S. and neighbors. Now, they cut it by 0.6%. That's a pretty big cut. In Canada, they cut it by 0.2%. What I find it fascinating, they did not cut the world growth forecast, which is at 3.1%. 3.1% for 2016. That's down from 3.2% last year. Okay, and then in 2017, they think it to be 3.4%. They do say that the growth is going to come from not the U.S. to drive the GDP to 3+%, but from emerging markets. So now they also list countries. What is, you know, they said they cut us, our growth prospects by 0.6% for 2016. So what is the estimate for this year? After the cut, 1.6%. What does our Federal Reserve say? 2.5%? I think it's going to be closer to 1.6%. I think it's going to be closer to 2%, somewhere in there. Canada is 1.2%. Okay, Mexico, 2.1%. France, 1.3%. Who's the negative? Brazil, minus 3.3%. Russia, minus 0.8%. Who's the biggest growers? India, 7.6%. And then China, 6.6%. That's this year. This year. Japan, they have it at 0.5% growth. Interesting. Now, I'm also going to tell you that they'll be revising it again. Who knows? That's just a guesstimate on their part. And it seems to me, over the years, most of the guesstimates put out there by, I don't care if it's the United States government or parts of the United States government or the World Bank or the IMF, most of their estimates seem to always be on the high side. Same as the S&P about earnings for corporations. They're always on the high side at the initial call, and then they reduce them and reduce them and reduce them. Very interesting. Our time is up for the hour, everybody. It went by pretty fast. I want to remind you that I set aside a few hours each month for retirement reviews with listeners anywhere in the United States. You can do it via Skype or telephone. Also, I will be in San Ramon October 25th. To reserve your hour, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, we thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.